How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. This goes on and on. The most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And what a weekend of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts we had this past weekend today. In fact, in 2 hours, it is the WWE TLC 2015 pay-per-view, Roman Reigns versus Sheamus in a TLC match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship is the main event. We are going to be doing our pre-show here for the next 2 hours, talking all of the matches on that show. We'll talk potential storylines, everything. Coming up here in the next 2 hours, the official WWE pre-show will be kicking off on the WWE Network in about an hour. Besides that, there's obviously a whole bunch of news. Everything from Lucha Underground to Ring of Honor, TNA, the final battle show for Ring of Honor is coming up this Friday. And in fact, all next week on this program, it will be Ring of Honor Week on the show. All Ring of Honor guests on the program next week. I was going to read off who's going to be here, but I'm going to keep it a surprise. But all next week, the biggest stars in Ring of Honor will be guests on the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. But today, we'll be talking about the TLC show. We'll talk about last night's Conor McGregor versus Jose Aldo Jr. UFC show. One of the most shocking finishes in history, as Jose Aldo Jr., who had not been beaten in a decade, was not only beaten by Conor McGregor, he was beaten in 13 seconds. I'm going to talk about that and so much more here on the show today. Mike Sempervivi joining us after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Here back here on Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. A lot of stuff to talk about here today, and we have 2 hours and plenty of time. So phone lines will be open. If you want to give us a call, the studio line is 425-488-0525. That is 425-488-0525. Toll free, 844-411-5411. That is 844-411-5411. Text messages to 425-780-7566. We'll be talking about all sorts of news notes here today. Phone calls, emails, a lot of text messages. Going to be a good time. TLC obviously is tonight. Big story last night was Conor McGregor taking all of 13 seconds to knock out Jose Aldo Jr. and his 10-year undefeated streak. It was crazy. Mike, what did you think of last night's UFC?
What can you say? I'm shocked. Just like everybody else, just absolutely shocking that Conor McGregor was able, not that he was able to win, although there were a lot of us who took Jose Aldo, we talked about it, but maybe sometimes we should listen to the fighters, because that tide certainly turned all into Conor McGregor's favor as the fight got close, and it was obvious when you saw it, a counter left hand right off the bat by Conor, and he kept talking about his timing. I just looked at his reach, his size, and his the precision of the punch was great as well too. But hitting Jose Aldo perfectly as Aldo hit him, as Aldo's punches lands, he's already out cold, hits the ground. Conor hits him two more times, I think woke him up and then knocked him out again with those punches, and just like that, it was over. And it's a special thing when there's always hype going into fights. And I'm sure somebody's probably bagging on this, sitting there from the outside going, you know, $50 for a 13-second fight, not realizing Mike Tyson got incredibly famous off of that. But
forget Tyson, Ronda Rousey.
Anybody. You know, the people like dominance. They may bitch and moan about it, but sorry, the dominant forces are something to behold. And Conor McGregor has become a dominant force, not only because of the performance, but because he talked so much. And it's incredibly hard to live up to what he talked himself up as and what the UFC has promoted him as. And not only did he live up to it, with a performance like that, he actually went past it. And he's not Muhammad Ali. I hate that comparison. It's a ridiculous comparison. But as far as top-tier athletes, the ones that, really are become legendary are the ones like the Alis and the Jordans who are so great and then go out and somehow when we see them, they get greater. And in big positions, they do even bigger things. And Conor's going to have to continue to do this and have things like this as it goes along because, you know, it can be a fleeting thing, this type of success. But if he can keep it up, this was this was just an incredible place to start, incredible performance.
Far be it from me to correct you, but in fact, on Friday, all of the fighters were picking Aldo, aside from Filthy Tom Lawler.
I thought you said on the show that they were actually picking...
No. Everyone except one picked Aldo. And, interestingly enough, the odds makers were all picking Conor McGregor, but then, after the weigh-ins, when Conor came in, and I thought he looked pretty healthy, people mocked me, they said he looked gaunt.
Everything was sucked out of him.
The odds switched. When people saw Conor at the weigh-ins, they thought, oh my God, this must have been a horrific weight cut for this guy. And money started coming in on Jose Aldo Jr. So really, by Saturday, most people were picking Aldo. And then McGregor went in there and slaughtered the dude. Slaughtered him. And...
That's true, but you know what the wacky part is, and I don't know how often this has happened. I mean, I'm sure it has, but there were, you know, you would see Aldo at minus 130, but then you would see, like, Conor McGregor at, like, minus 105, and it's like, depending on what site you looked at, that's who the favorite was, and it was just, it shows you how all over the place and how even that this thing was.
Let's go to the phones. We'll see what's
at least appeared.
Yes, people's minds. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, Sammy from New Jersey.
Yes, Sammy.
Just a couple things. I find it funny that the alleged fights on the airplane that got turned around were probably longer than last night's fights.
Guaranteed.
And I would normally imagine people spending all this time and money to fly from Ireland to Vegas to see a 13-second fight, they would be disappointed. But I would imagine that they weren't probably singing for like 4 hours last night or through the streets.
You know,
but that's what they came for. But it's like when Ricky Hatton, nobody would have complained from the from Britain if Ricky Hatton would have came over and knocked out Pacquiao or Mayweather in the first round. I mean, that's what they were coming to see. They were coming to this event and the crowning of Conor. So, you know, I don't think
that's what I was thinking, that they would be happy, even though like some people would be like it was a 13-second fight, but the Irish fans would just love every second of it, literally.
I don't think that, I want to thank you very much for the call. There are, every now and then I do see that comment like, oh, these fight fans must feel so angry that their fight was over in 13 seconds.
I'm glad I didn't pay for that.
Yeah, but I don't think that anyone, how can I say this politely in case anyone listening has said something like that? I don't think anyone with a brain would ever say something like that. And if you disagree
with me,
I will send this out on Twitter right now. I'm asking for help. I want somebody out there to find me an example of a fighter who regularly, and really the closest I can come up with is GSP, a guy who regularly went the distance and his fans saw this as a selling point. Like, I'm going to make sure that I pay $65 for this show because I know he's going to put in 25 minutes in the octagon. I've never in my whole life heard anyone say that ever, that thank God he put in 25 minutes because I paid $65. I've never, ever, ever heard anyone say that. I mentioned GSP because GSP did do a lot of five-round fights and he was a draw, but I never heard someone say, man, I always buy GSP shows because I know he's going to be in the octagon and get a decision. I've never, ever heard anyone say that. But I know plenty of people. I mean, people knew that Tyson was going to kill his opponent in seconds. People knew that Ronda Rousey was going to finish her fight in the first round. People know this, and they bought in enormous numbers. I can't think of one example of a fighter in history where his drawing power was based on the fact that he spent a lot of time in the ringer cage. And if anyone can find one, I'd love to hear it.
I mean, I guess you can say that about Mayweather.
Yeah.
Because of you go the technical masterpiece thing, and but it. Yeah, I mean, look at the...
But I never heard fans say that. I heard boxing writers talk about his great technique, but fans were always like, what a boring fight I just paid $65 for.
Well, I get it depends on where you come down on Mayweather. I mean, there's a lot of people that are, you know, support him, but it doesn't really matter.
Well, obviously they
matter.
Support him.
In most cases...
But I would have killed to have him just go in and kill someone in 3 rounds. I'd have 12 rounds of boredom.
Well, that's, again, and even if they're technically proficient, I mean, the Roy Jones and Floyd Mayweathers of the world, no, when the history, when it comes to pay-per-view, you know, as great as it may be numbers-wise for a Mayweather in this era, people are not going to look back with the same sort of love that they do with the Mike Tysons and situations where dudes were, you know, they were great fights. Maybe they went long, but they were, you know, knockouts or they were explosive moments in it, you know, not just fencing with fists, as I believe that the Big Vinny V said about Mayweather and De La Hoya. I think he described it like that. So, yeah, I don't know why people complain about that at this point and actually, you know, come out and say things like, well, I can't believe anybody would pay for that. People have been paying for it for years. People have been bitching about it for years, but they still continue to pay. And like you said, in this scenario, it doesn't matter. He's a star, and he was a star on the rise, and stars on the rise, you know, put big exclamation points next to their name, and he certainly did that last night.
Back in a moment, phone calls, emails, text messages, and more. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here on the show, Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here, Mike Semper, VV Studio Line, 425-488-0525, toll free, 844-411-5411, text messages, 425-780-7566, all of these numbers on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. I got some text messages here about this timing of fights. This person says, when Tyson was having first round fights, everybody complained and thought they were being cheated. I don't hear that with UFC. Mike, I bought Tyson pay-per-views. I mean, people didn't feel cheated in large numbers. You can say that you feel cheated, but if I go to Taco Time and I try to buy a burrito and they charge me $20, I got cheated. And let me tell you something, I'm never going back. So how cheated did people feel if they kept buying in record numbers every time a fight ended quickly? Every Ronda Rousey fight was over in a round or less, sometimes in 14 seconds, and every pay-per-view was bigger than the last. People can say they felt cheated, but they didn't feel cheated because they kept buying shows in ever-increasing numbers.
Yes, and that's the bottom line right there. You can say it, but then you're going to go to that person's house. I mean, the biggest events on pay-per-view have been events where lots of people usually come over and are watching as well. It's a gathering. It's the place to be. I mean, look, for God's sakes, we talked about this with Mayweather and Pacquiao. Everybody that had any idea going into that fight knew it was going to suck, knew it was probably going to end up the exact same way that it did, and that's how it went. And how many people saw that? You know, what was the total count on that fight? I can't even remember. I have to look it back up again. But it was ridiculous, you know, an all-time record. Because people wanted to see the event, and maybe they wanted to see it to bitch about it. Who knows? But they wanted to see it, and they went back to Mayweather again, even though they complained about it, because he's a superstar, the same way they went back in with Mike Tyson or anybody else for the most part, for that matter. It's why this continues to be a thing and continues to shock anybody. I have no idea, but it's the way it will always be. And Conor McGregor is just another in a long line as it stands right now. And he's on the cusp of superstardom.
I got another one. This person says, I can understand why the fight would be good if you were a fan of Conor and paid for it. But if you're a casual fan looking for a good fight, it was really disappointing and a waste of money. Again, that is not true. And I'm going to tell you why. When Mike Tyson did 2.1 million, million buys. When Ronda Rousey and Holly Holm did 1 million buys. When any show does 1 million buys, it's not hardcore boxing fans. That 2.1 million buys, or the whatever, is it 4 million was the record for the De La Hoya, or the De La Hoya Mayweather fight? Was it 4 million? What was the record?
When they broke it, it was 2.5.
2.5. All right. Where did I get 4 million? Point of this is 2.5 million. Those weren't boxing fans that did 2.5 million. Ronda Rousey, when she does 1 million, and Conor, if he does 1 million, those aren't hardcore UFC fans. Those are casual fans that brings it up to that number. Your hardcore UFC fan base, there's probably, 125,000 people that are going to buy every last single solitary show. If Joseph Benavidez is headlining, you're still going to get 125,000 people buying. Those are the super hardcores. They probably have 225,000 hardcore fans, where they're hardcore enough that they're going to buy every single show. Above that, now you're getting into casual UFC fans, people who probably can't even name the champion in every single weight division. When you get up to 1 million buys, you're talking people who the only fighter they may know is Ronda Rousey. The only fighter they may know is Conor McGregor. They're all casual fans. And when Ronda wins in 14 seconds, McGregor won in 13 seconds. Are you telling me that the next show is not going to break 1 million buys for Conor McGregor? Of course it is. And those are casual fans, the same ones that supposedly feel cheated when the fight ends quickly. They're not feeling cheated. They may say they feel cheated, but they're going to watch the next show. They always do.
Yes. And again, like I'd mentioned about with Pacquiao and Mayweather, everybody that knew anything about boxing knew what that thing was going to be going in. But the people on the outside didn't. All they knew was, this is the fight we've been waiting for years. That's all they didn't know. Probably Pacquiao faced Timothy Bradley, that he got knocked out by Marquez. You know, I doubt they do. They probably know Mayweather a little bit more, but what do they really know about Mayweather other than that he's a star? So those are the people that made up that, was it 4 million people or whatever it was when they broke the record, you know, this year. And people said, I will never do this again. This is horrible. It's amazing. You can look back in a Time magazine from the 50s and they talk about the demise and of heavyweight boxing and how, you know, it's going to kill the sport. There's always something that's going to kill the sport. And pay-per-view has been one of those things, too. If fights like this are going to kill the sport, when in fact, you know, it actually makes it stronger. Now, Conor McGregor beating a bum off the street the same way that Mike Tyson would face guys like Franz Botha or face, you know, guys like whoever when he was starting to his demise, that's different. Then that is kind of, you know, fleecing the public. It really is on the people to do their due diligence and see if that show is worth buying. But you had a show here with Conor McGregor that even if you didn't like Conor and Aldo, my God, you had Rockhold and Weidman underneath that. When that, you know, Dave said it last night, and it was true. When that fight ended, it felt like the pay-per-view was ending because that's the type of fight you see to close most pay-per-views. And you still had another one to go. You had Tisha Torres and Uriah Faber fighting on the undercard on FS1. That's how good of a show this was. So I don't, you know, it depends on how you have to take everything individually. And the bitching and moaning and complaining that it comes with pay-per-view buying is, you know, at this point, it's just ridiculous. People are going to buy what they're going to buy. If you don't do it and sit from the outside and wag your finger, fine. But it's got nothing to do with people that are going to stop buying the shows or it's going to be bad for the UFC's business. It's not.
Casey's got it right here. She says, I get being disappointed at not seeing a war or an epic fight, but not a waste of money, and it was still exciting and shocking. That's absolutely correct. Paul here says, did people buy Rousey fights to see her win or hoping to see her lose? And the answer is both.
Both.
And the key to this Ronda Rousey thing is if you go online, especially if you went online the day after she lost, the amount of hatred online for Ronda Rousey is quite frankly astonishing. However, when they do polls and they poll casual sports fans about Ronda Rousey, Ronda Rousey is, I don't want to say beloved, but there's a lot of casual fans and a lot of women who don't go online and cry about all of this that really, really like Ronda Rousey. There were a lot of people that bought Ronda Rousey fights because they loved seeing her, a strong, powerful woman, go in there and beat ass. That's why they bought the shows. But yes, there were also fans that bought the shows to see her get beaten, which really was maybe one of her biggest strengths, that she was capable of drawing both of those audiences, the ones that loved her and wanted to see her triumph, and the ones that hated her and wanted to see her beaten.
The superstars do. People wanted to see Floyd Mayweather get, but there's two things to that. It's like with a Rousey or a Julio Cesar Chavez, who came up under Mike Tyson and was the first guy, you know, lighter weight guy to really break through after Mike Tyson went to jail. It was because, you know, at some point you're going to see history and he's going to lose. That was another reason why you watch Tyson and Rousey and anybody, Floyd Mayweather, anybody who's undefeated like that, because you may see history and you want to be there and say, I saw it, when they see their first loss. And, or you want to see these people either knock somebody out while they run their mouth or get punched in the face so they finally shut up. And Conor McGregor, you know, certainly is going to fit into the, you know, the latter category more than anything. And we'll see what happens. I don't know if the reaction that Dana White had coming out of last night that everybody's talking about, maybe he wants to see Conor get punched in the face. I don't know.
Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Toll-free line. What's up?
Hey, it's Joe from New Jersey.
Yes, Joe.
Hey, just was going to ask, what do you feel about, like, if CM Punk was in WWE right now, how do you feel he would fit in the landscape? And I was going to bring up something else with the cover fighters or, you know, athletes that covered any video games, how there's always been or closely resembling a curse for those. What would you say, some input on that? Do you believe in that, or
what do you mean, a curse if they're on the cover of a video game?
So, like Madden, a lot of the stars that would be a cover, you know, be on the cover of that video game would either get injured or kind of fall
the Madden curse
below the radar. Yeah, and then like even Mike Tyson when he was on the video game Punch Out, that a few months later he lost.
Well, as a man who does After Dark Radio, I will tell you that I don't believe in curses. So, no, I don't believe there is
Do you believe in jinxes?
No.
Okay.
In fact,
Sports Illustrated cover jinx.
I purposely say that a meteor may come through my roof during this show because that guarantees it's not going to happen. I do the reverse jinx.
Ah.
Listen, the thing with curses is this, everybody, and predictions. If I made 25 predictions, I would disregard all of them that didn't come true, and I would only talk about the ones that did. That's what psychics do. If you read all of the famous psychics from back in the day, if you actually go through all their predictions, they're wrong 99% of the time. You get one hit, and you can make a career out of it. And usually the one hit is a complete coincidence that you got very, very lucky about. Think about this. I'm sure a lot of people have had dreams that they were in a car accident or in a plane crash. And they wake up and this didn't happen, and so they forget all about it. But the day that you happen to have that dream and you get in a car wreck, all of a sudden you think, my God, I'm psychic. You're not. It's a coincidence. No man curse. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. All righty, let's go to the non-toll-free line, studio line, you're on the air. What's up?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Oh, yes, Ryan.
Just got some thoughts on what you just said about the pay-per-view. Most casual fans are to get a sports bar and pay $5. Coverage charges is a pain, about $70 to $80 for one thing. There are about 300 people, I think, at the sports bar last night watching the fight.
Wow. Cumberland. Crazy.
Well, that's how you know there's big superstardom.
I didn't know there were 300 people in Cumberland.
There's about 20,000.
No, there's... Come on, Ryan.
And 15,000 teeth.
20,000 people in Cumberland?
Right.
Wow. It shows that you are a superstar because bars and restaurants, how that works, because a lot of people don't realize that they have to pay for every seat in the house, and it can become a very expensive proposition. That's why for years, I mean, like a strip club and places like that were some of the only places that you could see a lot of like UFC pay-per-views and things like that because it was just too costly.
Wait, what? There are strip clubs that are UFCs?
Yeah. In fact, I think most of them do. I mean, honest to God, I mean, most places in big cities, like, you know, I'm just speaking from like Baltimore and Washington and New York and places like that, there was a time where if you wanted to see like a Mike Tyson, not a Mike Tyson fight, but kind of after that, a big fight, like a Lennox Lewis fight, that would be something that they would use in advertising and stuff like that, because it can be very expensive to cover the cost, and nobody's going to, you can't fill a Buffalo Wild Wings with some of the bad fights that, you know, we've had on pay-per-view over the years, especially in boxing. Or when UFC wasn't a big thing, it wasn't something that was going to be shown. Now, obviously, because of the superstardom of Ronda Rousey and people like that, it's a lot easier to roll the dice, so it's a lot easier to do monthly, but most certainly everybody is going to go out there for a Ronda Rousey or Conor McGregor or the really big fights because, you know, you can actually fill the house.
Ryan, have you ever attended a UFC airing at a strip club?
No, I think I'd be too distracted to watch the UFC if I was at a venue like that. But
he's right.
The question is, does Dana White have to pay an extra fee if the fight goes after 1 a.m.? Is that twice in a row that the fight was
No. They've got a... what Ryan is asking everybody is that normally, for WWE, for example, they've got a three-hour window, and this has happened in WCW, in fact, where they went past the three-hour window and the pay-per-view shut off. A UFC has a six-hour block minimum, and so, in fact, it's longer than that because the pay-per-view comes on here at 6 Pacific and doesn't go off the air until 1. So they end up having, they can go past 10 o'clock, essentially, is what I'm trying. They can go past 1 Eastern and not have to pay extra.
And the other thing I noticed about what you're saying is Mike Tyson really had the claw on a lot of those fights. He won by decision and a lot of his championship fights, and you're acting like he was like a Ronda Rousey and won in seconds, which wasn't true.
Well, he did win a lot of them in seconds. I didn't say every last single one of them, Ryan. When did Ryan become such a literalist?
Yeah, apparently there, but I mean, still, most people are going to remember the Michael Spinks fights, are going to remember the Carl the Truth Williams, the explosive ones like that, and yeah, some of them, you know, Razor Ruddock, they did go into the, you know, later rounds, you know, sixth round, eighth round, things like that, but still, no matter what, people still complained and said they weren't getting their money's worth or bitched about the opponent or this or that, and then they kept going back to watch over and over again.
This fellow here says, does last night prove how wrong Hunter and Vince are with the importance of size and cosmetics as a draw? Well, first off, in terms of cosmetics, I mean, don't tell me Conor McGregor doesn't have cosmetics. He's not a male model, but he dresses the part.
The tattoo job, too. I mean, he's a very complete character.
Now, yes, and it's not even last night, but I would, at least going back to 1985 with Rowdy Roddy Piper, I mean, it's pretty clear to anybody with a brain that if you're talented and you can convince people that you can beat ass, you can be a draw, regardless of your size, shape, or what you look like. But they still, to this day, cannot get beyond that. Which does, in fact, everyone, bring us to some discussion of the TLC pay-per-view that is coming up tonight. This is the final WWE pay-per-view show of the year, and the main event is, in fact, Roman Reigns versus Sheamus in a TLC match for the championship. And obviously there's a lot of different ways they could go. They could take the belt off of Sheamus, which quite frankly is what I would have done a month ago.
13 seconds.
At Survivor
Series.
12
seconds.
I don't think you can get a 12-second finish at a TLC match. No one can climb that fast. But yes, I would.
If anybody could, the big dog can.
The big dog can't climb that fast, buddy. You ever try to see a dog climb a ladder?
Maybe he'll Superman punch himself up and just grab it off of there. Lucha Underground dramatic style.
Now, this does not mean anything right now because it is not yet time for the smart money to come in. But the not smart money has Sheamus at minus 750. He is the heavy, heavy favorite going into this TLC match. And anything can happen. As we're all well aware, plans can change, but I was told that Vince is sticking to his guns, and whatever plan he had for TLC, he is not changing, and best I can tell, the plan was for Sheamus to retain the title somehow, which is going to be some major screw job work on the big dog, But I do think that Sheamus is walking out with the championship tonight.
Yeah, he probably is. And talked about it ad nauseum over the last few weeks. We'll see what happens tonight. Thought how they went about all of this with Roman Reigns when they had a chance to rebuild him. And I know people are still reacting to him now. This is still probably the best position as far as fan support that he's had in a long time. But I thought they could have taken advantage of it better. I think he should be facing Sheamus right now in basically a rematch of the match where he would have beaten him in seconds after Sheamus cashed in the Money in the Bank at Survivor Series. Unfortunately, that's not the case, and instead it's Roman going still chasing, and he's going to come up short again. And I ask the question again at some point, why do I want to see this loser, win the title? And I know that's harsh, and frankly, everybody they have for the most part on their roster is kind of sort of, I hate to say a loser, but it's what they are when there's so much 50-50 and nonsense going on, and this is certainly nonsense with Roman Reigns. We'll see, but it's because everything is looking like it's going to be his crowning at the Royal Rumble, so it leads into WrestleMania. It's just pretty obvious that Sheamus is probably going to win this thing.
Studio line, you're on the air. What's up?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Yes, Jim.
Oh, we had a good show at the Shine 31 Friday night.
Oh, yeah?
They got a new champion. Santana Garrett is no longer the champion.
I heard.
TaylorMade is the champion. They had a four-way match between TaylorMade, Allison Kay, Amber Gallows, and Jessica Havoc for the number one contender spot, and she won it in the pre-show. And it was a very controversial ending to the match between Santana Garrett and TaylorMade, as Santana Garrett had the pin, but SoCal Val came in and pulled the referee out of the ring.
Man.
And then you see that TaylorMade finds a pair of brass nuts and cold cocks Santana Garrett, and she's the new champion.
She cold cocked that beautiful face with brass knuckles.
That's kind of old school booking, ain't it?
It shouldn't be allowed, Jim. I'm not just talking for the women. Anybody.
Brass nuts.
Concussion possibilities and facial damage. It's just not right.
Oh, well, it's been in wrestling for years and years and years.
Well, you're right about that.
One other thing.
Yes.
God bless her. Leilani Kai wrestled on that card.
Not
I
good.
I saw she was wrestling. Yeah, that's right.
55 years young and still wrestling. God bless her.
And was she any good?
No, she went. She lost.
That wasn't exactly my question, Jim. Was she any good in the ring?
I don't know. She's still pretty good, what I've seen of her, but have to get Ed probably knows more about it than I do.
Apparently she faced Leah Von Dutch last night.
Wow.
And she tapped out, I think.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? You start to get a little older and it gets tougher to hang with these youngsters. You know what I'm talking about, Jim.
I know what you mean.
Oh, yeah.
One other thing about the TLC show tonight. Any updates on the women's matches or anything?
Oh, funny you should ask, Jim. We do have an update here.
Okay.
They have announced the pre-show match is going to be Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch.
Well, that's good.
And I know this is kind of a spoiler, and people don't like spoilers, but while I don't know who's going to win, they're only going to get about 7 minutes. So this is not going to be a legendary, epic matchup here. And the notable thing about it is that Sasha Banks is from Boston. The site of tonight's show, and they're not even putting her on the actual pay-per-view. They're putting her in the dark match.
At Boston with an Irish girl who she'll be facing.
That's right. Can you imagine?
Maybe that's why they actually put them on the pre-show, though. And let's be honest, even if it goes 7 or whatever it goes, it's likely still going to be better than the match that actually takes place on the pay-per-view.
It's just amazing to me.
Exactly. All right, y'all have a good evening there.
Y'all have a good time there, Jim. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, by the way, also on the show last night, apparently with some interaction in that Leilani Kai match, Malia Hosaka. Still going.
Have I ever told you how I petitioned for a match with Malaya Osaka when she was working up here?
You need to tell this story one day, yes.
It's not much of a story. It was just we both worked for the same promotion. And I was like, I want to have a match with her. I mean, it would be fun. Never got it. Now it's too late. Oh, well. So also
not
here
too
on
late.
The show.
She could get yourself into to shape.
That I ain't wrestling.
Osaka.
Come on.
What if she wants to roll with you?
I'm 40 now. I'd roll. I'm not doing a match. What else do we have? Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose for the Intercontinental title. For whatever it's worth, which is not much, Kevin Owens is the favorite in the odds currently, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me because I don't know why Dean Ambrose can't win the title and you do something with the guy unless, as has been speculated, it's going to be Kevin Owens and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, in which case Kevin Owens should, in fact, beat this guy clean in the middle and start a rampage.
Yeah, and who knows? There's a lot you could do with Dean Ambrose after this, too. It's probably going to be, hopefully, it's a good match with a good ending. You know it's going to be a good match no matter what, because they're going to have the time to do it, and it's just, look who it is. So you know it's going to be good. It's the ending, and hopefully that it's not too deflating when it comes time.
Apparently, this person is here at the TLC show, and they wrote that the crowd just did a 4-minute John Cena chant. And granted, John Cena, Boston native, but still, they finally found a way to make people begging. People are begging for this man to come back with Sheamus on top, everybody gone. I don't think he's going to be there tonight.
I still save him for the Rumble.
But you know what? You know what? He could be. But I don't think he's going to be. So I don't want to see it reported that I said he was going to be back. I'm just thinking, Mike.
I know.
That's my job. We're going to go to a break. We got another full hour here, everybody, to talk more about TLC, take your phone calls, and more. Stick around. Back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, everybody, we've got a couple of moments here before we head to the top of the hour break, so let's read some of these tweets here. Guys, concerning TLC, any chance of a surprise or return happening, or are we gearing up for a boring show? I haven't heard anything, but obviously if it was a big surprise, what they've done in the past is they've hid guys. So I suppose it is possible that we have a surprise tonight, but I have not heard anything into that direction. This guy says, I don't think Aldo deserves an immediate rematch. A guy losing in 13 seconds shouldn't get one right away. Who would you have McGregor fight next? I think it's Edgar or the lightweight champ. That is, in fact, the answer. It will be either Edgar or it will be the winner of the upcoming Cerrone-Dos Anjos fight, which is coming up this next weekend. We'll find out soon.
Some of the things he said is really not going to help his cause either. But, you know, if he gets a shot, I understand it. I mean, he was a champion for a long time of high standing who was very dominant, and I could accept that. But Edgar's a lot more fun of a fight. And really, Donald Cerrone, I mean, this is something else may want to touch on after the break, too. We talked about that kid from 1FC who passed away this week due to weight cutting. We talked about what Conor McGregor looked like. Both Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo, there's rumors about them going up into weight because it's tough to make 145. And I know that Conor talked a lot last night about wanting to defend both titles. But think about this. If he walked in there at over 170 pounds, think about that for a 145-pound fight.
All right, we got to head to a break. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, list goes on and on. The most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Thousands of shows available for subscribers up at WrestlingObserver.com. If you like this show, sign up today. I guarantee you'll love it. We got 3 shows coming up today. This replay will be available immediately for subscribers, commercial free. We also have a Brian and Vinny show later tonight with the TLC wrap-up. We'll also be joined by Dave Meltzer coming up here later on tonight with a TLC wrap-up show, as well as all of the news from the weekend. After Dark Radio as well will be airing tonight on the Dark Matter Digital Network, 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern. The replay will be available for subscribers. If you want to know what is going on with Art Bell quitting again, it appears. What is up with the Dark Matter Digital Network and Art Bell? I'll talk about it tonight, as well as the future of After Dark Radio. That is Dark Matter Digital Network, 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern. There is a link on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. I want to mention this from Gomez. He says, I saw the UFC 194 last night at the strip club here. The dancers were not happy. They had no stage shows, and they kept asking me, when are these fights going to be over so we can get back to business? Strippers not happy with UFC 194 is the report exclusively here at WrestlingObserver.com. We got a full TLC pre-show coming up today. We've already run over a couple of the matches. We got many, many more to talk about. We'll be taking your phone calls as well. The studio line, 425-488-0525. Toll free, 844-411-5411. Text messages, 425-780-7566. All numbers on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Back in a minute with more Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Well, apparently during the break, WWE Network went down. I can't get it here. I know, Mike, you can't get it. I've been getting messages from others who cannot seem to access it either.
On any platform.
Yeah, I'm up at the WWE Network Twitter, and there is no mention of any problems whatsoever. In fact, they're still tweeting out all sorts of things.
Got to go to the YouTube, see if it's happening there.
Well, I'll have you check that out. And in the meantime, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Oh, hi. This is Paul in Barbersville. And how are you doing this evening?
Oh, what's up, Paul?
Well, as you know, I called in last week very excited about the results of the Chikara Top Banana Show, which, if the WWE Network does not get back online, I'd like to inform you, is available on VOD now. And I have watched everything up until the Challenge of the Immortals finale, so I have not gotten to see the unfortunate bump that Max Smashmaster took. But this has been a very, very good show. And in particular, this one match that I just watched is pretty fascinating because I'm talking about the Fire Ant versus Soldier Ant match, which on paper, it shouldn't work. I think if you explained this match to, say, Les Thatcher, his head may explode. But people love this. Now, were you aware, Brian, that last year, Soldier Ant was abducted by the Flood and turned into an indestructible cyborg?
Mm-hmm. I am aware of this. Is this the same ant that blew up the school bus full of children in Zimbabwe?
No, that is Missile Assault Ant.
Oh, Missile. I'm sorry. I got my ants mixed up.
Yeah, yes. He was a
ants are hard to tell apart.
That the Tudor conglomerate hired to be part of a more marketable version of the colony called Colony Extreme Force. But anyway, this match.
You know why that failed? The acronym's not good.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. The CEF. You can't. What are you going to do with that?
Yes, but anyway, this match went for 20 minutes. It ended in a no contest, and people were overjoyed. Because people cared about the colony. At the end of the match, the colony reunited. A soldier ant turned to Taneko after throwing off his brainwashing. And there were some reports on Twitter. There were actually some people in the building in tears over the fact that the colony had fully reunited.
That is true. I can confirm that. I want to thank you very much for the call. I wish I could talk more about this, but we're dealing with the issue of the network being destroyed, maybe by one of these ants, for all I know. But yes, I did hear that there were fans crying over the reunion of the ants. And as he noted, you can check it out, video on demand. Chikaratopia.com is also a great place to go. And
I'm crying right now. And it is working on YouTube, the WWE pre-show for TLC. Just go to YouTube and put in their WWE, and it'll come up. And you can watch this show that way if you're continuing to have problems any other way trying to watch the network. And he was the man's enthusiasm.
Before you go any further on this, yes, man, you can also, if you can get on a boat or a plane, if you can get to the UK, it appears to be working fine there as well. Just not here in the United States.
That's celebrating for Connor. Everything, the world goes dark except for the UK and Ireland and Northern Ireland. But the enthusiasm over Chikara by a lot of people who've said that about that show, it has been a good couple of weeks here recently for fans of independent wrestling. I think Progress, had some pretty good shows, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not a fan of CZW at all, although, but with that said, if you are a fan of that stuff, I guess they had their COD thing that they do every year, and AR Fox, who is a from Evolve and been around, apparently was doing some insane things. PWG over the weekend, ROH Final Battle coming up, Lucha Underground, the debut of the trailer for that. I cannot tell anybody at the next break, would please, I am begging you, go to YouTube if you have a chance to and watch the trailer for season two. That, the UFC, there's been, you know, the 3 days that they had, a lot of good stuff has been taking place. And as much as we bag on WWE and make fun of them, and they give us reasons to make fun of them and to be frustrated and throw your hands up at it, there's so much other stuff that's going on right now too, that, you know, thankfully we can focus on that some as well.
This is amazing. I'm on Twitter right now, and I searched WWE Network. I'm looking at the live feed, and listen, I want the thing fixed as well, but I feel bad for them right now because I have dealt with this as well. Although, look at this. All of these people on Twitter are swearing and furious and threatening to cancel the WWE Network.
Heavens.
I think it's been down for maybe 10 minutes. But
does anyone remember the 14.4 kilobyte download a minute modem?
Can we give them like a few minutes to try and get it fixed before we decide to cancel the network? I mean, the show hasn't even started yet. Are you this mad that you can't see Corey Graves?
Pick up the phone and knock off your internet connections. Like, hang up the phone, because if you did it really quick, then you'd be able to stay online. This and now, yes, it's a they've gotten us spoiled.
It's not fixing like an hour. I still wouldn't cancel, but then it would sort of be like, okay, it's kind of been a little while now. But it's been like 10 minutes. Maybe a tube got split or something. I don't know.
And if you have a Roku or a Apple TV, you have the ability, and you, obviously if you're watching online or your phone or your mobile device, you have the ability to go to YouTube. I'm going to tweet out the YouTube link for TLC here, and done. So if you're having any issues, there you go. You can at least watch it that way.
Fury online right now because of
Tyson Fury online right now.
10 minutes. All right, let's go to the phones, the studio line. You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, it's Matt in St. Louis.
Yes, Matt. Is your internet down? Is your network down?
I cannot log on to the pay-per-view right now.
Oh, my God. Does this air in strip clubs? Are there any strippers we can call to find out what's going on? Go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
Brian, last night you and Dave mentioned, or maybe this morning, Weidman having
both
a staph infection and cellulitis. What,
yes,
are those things, and how did that affect them during the fight?
Well, a staph infection and cellulitis are very, very similar.
I didn't think I could hear of anything that sounded nastier than a staph infection, but cellulitis, for some reason, sounds kind of nasty.
Yes, it is. It is an infection that you can get. There are many different kinds. It affects you in many different ways, but I don't think he had the actual open infection going into the fight, but the issue was he'd had it within the last 2 weeks, and thus he could not train at his full capacity during the most important part of his training camp. And so he went into the fight, and he got very, very tired. That is how it affected him, but Presumably he's okay, otherwise I don't think he would have been cleared to fight.
He didn't look very good coming to the ring, and I had an idea that he wasn't on top of his game, so he was definitely seemed affected, and the, you know, his performance in the fight was pretty bad.
But he still won.
Well, I'm talking about Weidman. He just didn't look that good coming to the ring.
Oh.
The octagon.
Hold on. Rockhold was the one that had the cellulitis and the staph infection. Weidman just had, I don't know what he had. He had a bad night.
Yeah,
Weidman didn't have anything. He didn't have any, I didn't hear of any injuries, any issues. He just went in there, and for whatever reason, he was smaller. He did claim that he was dropping some weight, and he was going to walk around lighter so that he had an easier weight cut. But he came in lighter, he came in weaker, and he was not the same Weidman. And so he lost to a man with cellulitis and a staph infection.
And I think it, you know, as much as it was not Weidman's night, and you could just tell when he got in there, you know, as really the first round went on, it was like it's just not going to be his night. But it also shows, you know, how good Rockhold is and where he's at right now. So, you know, God knows what we're going to see going forward with some of the things that came out of last night, because I don't know what exactly you're going to do with Romero. I would kind of hope for a
interview
rematch,
him,
to be honest.
It's the best usage of him. Ask him a bunch of complicated questions in a language that is not his first language. Let's head to a break, everybody. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, and I have gotten a couple of messages, actually one, from Ed, who says that the network is working for him. Mine is
Xbox,
not.
It seems to be back, at least for that.
It seems to be slowly returning. So, all of you that cancel your subscriptions, I guess you're welcome to go sign back up again, because I guess now it works. Well, there you go, the WWE Network. We're taking calls today, everybody, 425-488-0525, toll-free, 844-411-5411, and text messages to 425-780-7566. TLC, of course, is tonight, and I got a lot of text messages here about the network. Let me go through some of these. This is important, obviously. Isitdownrightnow.com, which is, in fact, a real website. I've used it many times, mostly for Frontier Cable.
Uh-huh.
It is reporting WWE is having issues, not sure why. Cannot watch here on the PC or the Apple TV. So there's another guy with issues there.
This isitdown.com could be...
Yeah, it's a great website, actually.
Parody site for a lot of things, I bet. Good.
In Kansas City, this person says it's working via Roku, and it is now working on his LG tablet. So it appears, everybody, that the network is slowly coming back up. I presume that wherever you are, it may take a little longer or a little less time. Still not working on the Apple TV, but maybe if I exit all the way out and then go back in, it'll work. I always just try to reset everything when something's going wrong, Mike. That's my usual fix. It always works on my wife's computer and iPhone, and she thinks that I'm a genius. And really all I do is just restart the stupid thing when something went wrong. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air on the studio line. Please turn me down. What's up?
It's John from Arkansas. So the network's down, huh? It looks like the network itself became self-aware of how crappy this pay-per-view is and decided to close down.
You know, I don't think that's the problem. I think more likely
a tech
issue.
I'm actually going to even watch the show tonight, to be honest, just based on recent events of how focused they are.
You don't find focus when you watch Raw?
No. That should be self-evident by the product that they keep putting out.
Huh.
It's just uninspiring. I'm begging for Vince to at least get a clue at some point. But I don't know if it's going to happen.
Well, let's be positive here, my friend. Let's look at the card, and I want you to tell me who is going to win the New Day versus Lucha Dragons and the Usos in a ladder match for the tag team titles.
If I'm going to guess, I'm going to put it on the Usos probably, because since they're coming back, that might be their plan.
Come on.
Because it makes no sense, and that sounds like what they do.
You know it's going to be the new day. They're all over this television show.
Well, I guess the new day, that would be what they've done here in the past, so we might as well run with it.
That's right. Is your network working, by the way?
I have not checked my network yet.
Oh.
I will be checking it just shortly.
All right, check it and then text me and let me know what's going on. I can alert the world that my network is now working. Thank God I didn't cancel. Strongly considering it. They are, in fact, already bringing out Sasha Banks for this pre-show match. And it's only 30 after, so it's possible they may be given more than their scheduled 8 minutes. I guess we shall find out. But this is the pre-show match, everybody. Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch. Which is interesting because one would think that Sasha Banks should win this match. However, Becky Lynch may very well be next in line for a title shot if Charlotte beats Paige tonight. So it'd be very weird to beat her on this show, and then she would be the number one contender. Not that they haven't done stupid stuff like this before, but I guess we'll know more in about 8 minutes.
As somebody with all Apple products all throughout his house, he's very upset with WWE waiting until the last minute to take care of us iOS folk or our poor put-down, you know, Apple people. It's very, very sad. But back in perfect time for Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks, which either way, I don't care who wins because I just hope it's going to be good. But I will say this. It's too bad that Sasha has been caught in this weird purgatory since being brought up to the main roster. There's not much more she could do in NXT, and you don't want to see her too involved in what's been taking place as part of the Divas Revolution because, well, it's been what it's been, and these matches have, you know, and the whole thing has just been bad from the start and has gone downhill, and she's in a tough spot. So Becky Lynch, if she gets the next, that actually makes more sense to me, you know, because to me, I don't want to see Sasha Banks go after that title without winning it. So I don't know how things could get screwed up here. Maybe you do a thing where Tamina, you know, misses her, you know, hitting Becky with something and hits Sasha. It's still not a good way, you know, you don't want to see Sasha lose. But if you do something like that, at least there's a craptastic way to get out of it. And it gives Becky the next match because that makes, you know, a little bit more sense right now.
What else do we have here on this card tonight? Where's my update here? Charlotte and Paige, I mean, we've just been talking about that, but I am a huge fan of Paige. I don't really care what anyone says. I know that some... What? What are you talking about?
Nothing.
I think that Paige is the most complete performer they have on the entire roster in terms of women. More so than Sasha. And you know what? I don't know why it bothers people, because I'm not saying one negative thing about Sasha Banks. I think that Sasha is awesome. However, is Sasha Banks a better talker and personality than Paige? Honestly, Mike. Honestly.
Yes. Yes.
In what way?
I prefer Paige more. Sorry, I just do.
I do too. Paige.
I mean.
That's what I thought, Mike. Freudian slip right there. You just wanted to argue.
No, you know. Seriously, I do. I haven't been... Look, this is like Summer Rae. Some people really, really like Summer Rae. I'm not saying she's the kiss of death or anything, although I make fun of her that way because of, you know, the things she's been involved with that have, you know, come up lame over and over again. But I'm not entertained by her at all. I'm not entertained. You know, Paige is good at what she does. I love seeing her wrestle. The act is a little bit grating. I understand what she's been involved with Charlotte. I said it on Monday night. If I never see these two again, it will be too soon because the over the top commentary that I know some people like, it drives me nuts. And it's just, it's too much. I don't hate her. I'm not saying she's, you know, at the bottom of the barrel or anything like that, but I do prefer actually Sasha Banks more. Unfortunately, she's not in a good spot right now. But again, I don't hate her, but still, go ahead.
All right, what else do we have here? I'm very distracted because I've got 9 million tech issues going on with our own website right now. Hopefully nobody cancels. But talk to us about...
Distracted by this Sasha outfit.
Yes, talk to us about Del Rio versus Jack Swagger.
Apparently, when they showed the in the pre-show here, and I didn't have the volume turned up, I thought everything was kind of dead and buried with Del Rio and Zeb Coulter. But when they showed the graphic, they still had Coulter in Del Rio's corner. And Jack Swagger cut a promo as well, too, that they showed. But again, I didn't have the sound up, so I couldn't hear it. But I thought that was all dead and buried. And if, you know, Coulter was going to be with anybody, it would be with Jack Swagger. I guess he didn't give Swagger an answer last week. He just drove off. But I thought I would figure the interaction, if I was talked to by someone in the same way that Del Rio talked to me, if I had some pride, which Zeb Coulter used to, he wouldn't be still latching onto him. I'm sure that's probably part of the story tonight. But how can that be part of the story unless either Coulter is swerving Jack Swagger and stays with Alberto Del Rio and then possibly runs for president of Mex-America, is somewhat of a Donald Trump style of thing, or he gets the swerve on Del Rio and Jack Swagger wins the U.S. title? Which one of those things you think is more likely?
I'll tell you one thing. Jack Swagger's not winning the U.S. title.
So can you see Zeb Coulter as the president of Mex-America or the League of Nations ambassador?
I don't know what they're going to do. They may just be giving the guy some... I don't even know. I don't even understand why... Listen, the scooter that he's on, the Rascal, okay, that's not a storyline. Like, he had surgery, and now he needs that thing. I don't know if it's forever or for the time being or what.
I do hope he does a Ron Wright thing with that.
The idea that they didn't even let the guy just, like, sit home and rest and recover. They had to bring him back to TV on a Rascal. To do what they did with him and Del Rio is, quite frankly, astonishing to me. I just don't get it. It was stupid from day one. It's been stupid the entire time. It watered down Del Rio. It didn't make any sense. It baffled literally everybody. And it was a waste of time, and they pulled the plug on it. So, I love Zeb Coulter. I love the guy. But he should not be with a heel Del Rio. It doesn't make any sense.
Welcome back, pal. You're going to hate making your money. I have no idea why they did that. It made no sense. You debut him in San Diego against John Cena. You knew he was going to get a pop. Why not try to have him be a good guy? And if it fails, then you have him be a bad guy again. I can't believe they had the idea for the League of Nations that far in advance. So
of course
I don't believe
they didn't.
Of course, yeah.
But
so,
actually, I shouldn't say that. They may have.
Really?
Yes. Because they had been talking about some sort of big angle on the Monday that the deal was put together that had been in the works for a while. So I don't know. I just know that this ain't working. It's a top heel group. It's preposterous. Back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. All right. We are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. The pre-show is on right now. Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch. Is the pre-show match. Don't forget, tonight, after the show ends, there will be the Stone Cold podcast with Shawn Michaels. Sounds like a lot of fun. Everyone thinks I have a bad memory. Wait till you watch Shawn Michaels tonight, I would guess.
I wonder if he's going to talk about hunting and stuff as much as Brock Lesnar did.
I'm sure they will. They got to talk about what they have in common, Mike.
They did it in a barn or something. Where did they this take place? Is there a...
I think they went to Shawn Michaels' house.
They did the setup there, and man, good to be Shawn Michaels.
Hey, that's right. Trust me. When the WWE Network decides to interview me, they got to come to my house.
He earned it.
I got the studio right here. Steve can sit right there. We do the show together, put it out on Sports Byline USA, and we do a co-promotion, myself and WWE. I'm sure I'm going to talk to them about that.
Oh, don't bring up co-promotion right now. Somebody from Zuffa may be listening and would get very upset at the agita and the gut here, so be careful about that.
Oh, they just messed up the bank statement. Or maybe not. Maybe not. Turned it into a cross-arm iron sheik hold, the camel clutch. I'm going to move on.
The colors
also,
in this match are just... this is like Boyd Pierce's jacket back in the days of Mid-South. You know, if you had black and white right now, I would wonder what it would look like. I think there would still somehow be color.
Got so much news from this past weekend. Besides the TLC show, obviously, we had the UFC pay-per-view last night. We have talked about most of the key details, but as Mike did mention, there does appear, the rumor is that there is trouble in paradise with Conor McGregor, Dana White, Lorenzo Fertitta.
Allegedly,
Conor wants more money, which should come as a surprise to nobody, because if there's one thing Conor McGregor wants, it's more money. Always. That's not a rumor. That's a fact. Now, whether he's trying to renegotiate or hold up the company, as they used to say in pro wrestling, or what, I have no idea. I just know that there were a lot of rumors about it last night, and as Ed mentioned, there is a weird video. It's very grainy and hard to see. There may be a Sasquatch in the background as well of Lorenzo Fertitta when the knockout occurred, slamming down the championship belt. People have interpreted it many ways. I don't really know what happened. All I know, because I saw it with my own eyes, is that when Dana White got in the octagon after Conor McGregor had knocked out Jose Aldo and won the title in 13 seconds, Dana White looked stone-faced, stoic. Now, the last time I saw Dana White look like this was when Ronda Rousey got beaten. Because Ronda Rousey was undefeated, she was the company's biggest draw, and as Dana White noted, a close personal friend of Dana White. She got knocked out. This was very difficult for him, for a lot of different reasons. However, with Ronda Rousey out of the picture for the foreseeable future, your number one draw by a landslide is Conor McGregor. And in fact, a couple of days ago, we were talking on the show, can you imagine if after such a great year for UFC, on back-to-back pay-per-views, Ronda Rousey lost and then Conor McGregor lost? What a disaster that could be for UFC. So going into the fight, if I were Dana White, what I would want is for Conor McGregor to win. Because Conor McGregor is the money train right now. I would want him to win. He won as decisively as a man can win. A 13-second clean knockout of a man who had not been defeated. He was the only 145-pound champion in the history of the organization he had been champion so long. There have been no other champions except Jose Aldo prior to last night. Conor McGregor knocks him out, proves his point, proves he's the man, and Dana White looked like Ronda Rousey had just lost again. Made no sense. And that's what I texted people, and I heard back, there may be trouble here. There may be trouble. And then Dana White didn't show up at the press conference. He did go on FS1, but he did not show up at the press conference. And it was weird. So I guess we'll see what happens. But where there's smoke, Mike, sometimes there's fire.
Yes,
or as they also say, there's smoke to the fire, which makes no sense.
It's amazing how dominant that belt has been back. Goes back into the WEC days where Uriah Faber was one of the guys that helped make WEC a good and very viable television product that the UFC went in there and ended up taking over. And it went from Faber to Aldo. To now to Conor McGregor, who looks to take it up to a different level, and he has done everything that they have asked from him. He has done The Ultimate Fighter. He has done media. He has met with Rapport. He has done everything and done everything, seemingly at least on the surface, with great enthusiasm, with great gusto, and going 100 miles an hour, and he feels as though that he is a valuable commodity, I would assume, that is got the ability to you know, have the tail wag the dog, you know, the UFC being the dog running down the street, but you need to have stars, and Conor, you know, kind of being able to control the situation. They probably don't like that, but it's something that they need and something that is going to be logical. I don't know if this is all blown out of proportion or not, but if you're going to tell me that, you know, an athlete is going to have an issue with the promotion over what they're worth and wanting promotional things and pay-per-view cuts and lots more money and all those, you know, types of things, Hey, I'm not going to be surprised at it at all, and you might as well strike while the iron is hot. Like you said, he has done everything for them, including coming up so huge last night, it's not even funny. So let's see how this can go between the group, because let's be honest now. I know Connor's on a hot streak right now, but if Connor were to walk out of that promotion tomorrow, walk into Bellator, which would
be the next... can't do that, so let's not
But
worry.
I'm just saying, even if he did, Brian, think about this. We're talking about the average sports fan. Bellator, for, you know, as much as we'll talk about Kimbo and things like that, it's not on anybody's radar. And he's not big enough of a star right now worldwide, Mike. Brian, where
long term. Why are we discussing Connor going to Bellator? It's impossible.
Because I'm just saying, even if they need each other, okay? If he were to walk away right now, so they're going to have to work together. It's not like he's going to be. You know, what could he possibly do, you know, except for make life hell for them? But he's still going to be there. But, you know, and they still need each other.
Okay, hold on. First off, if he wanted to, he could go home, but he can't go anywhere. I mean, he cannot leave the company and go to Bellator. He could make their life miserable by just going away belt.
I know, but hypothetically, I'm just saying, yeah, I mean, even as big of a star as he is, you know, at this second in time, he still needs the UFC, so it's not like he could retire or go away or anything like that. I mean, he's not that big of a star yet. So no matter how, you know, nasty that these guys might get after each other, eventually, you know, with all the bad feelings, if there's bad feelings or not, they're going to have to work with each other. But it's just interesting also that co-promotion has been brought up as a sticking point, as though, I mean, the UFC wasn't going to do this with Fedor at a time where, you know, that iron was hot with M1. Why would they do it with Conor McGregor? But we see it in boxing all the time where there's 10 million promoters that are attached to the show because then they get their cut of the thing and things like that. So it could be a very interesting time.
Well, listen, let's go back to this show here, because the match is over, and this show is already... I shouldn't have watched UFC last night. Sasha won because Becky had her in the move, and then Team Bad interfered, and then Sasha got her in her move, and Sasha won. Interference, the same finish we see in every single WWE show. If I was watching this last night, all I would think was, I don't care about seeing either of these women fight for the title. And for some reason, I think that probably next in line is going to be Becky Lynch, even though she lost here. I mean, that's the storyline they've been playing, that her and Charlotte are going to have a split. And if Charlotte retains, that seems likely. And if it ends up being Sasha Banks, who cares? Sasha couldn't even beat Becky Lynch without help from... This isn't even good heat. This is just the same booking we see in every single solitary WWE match we ever see. I just watched a show last night where the champion for a decade was beaten in 13 seconds. I mean, can we have a finish here on this show? I know we're not going to get a finish in the main event, at least like a clean finish. Sheamus is not decisively beating Roman Reigns, so you know you're not going to get it there. We didn't get a finish already in the opener. And as I look up and down the card here, I mean, yeah, I'm sure we're going to get some finishes in the Dudley's match. Who cares? Someone's going to pin Devon. What does it matter? Are we going to get a clean finish in Rusev versus Ryback? We might. It's Rusev. They are mad at him and his wife still. Del Rio, I'm sure, is going to beat Jack Swagger, but there may even be interference there because God knows we got to protect Jack Swagger. Charlotte and Paige, I'm almost certain you're going to have some sort of screw job finish. This, I predict, is going to be a very difficult show to watch after last night's pay-per-view, where men and women went into the cage and they beat each other to try to rise in the rankings, to try to set up fights that you would want to see next time. Not a bunch of goofy chicks running in. Not to mention, I only saw the replay, but she's in the disarmor. Her arm is getting broken, and she gets booted. And Sasha Banks, whose arm was being broken, just leaps right up and does her move. Doesn't even sell the arm. What is the point of any of this? I'm already mad, and we've only gotten through the pre-show.
You want to yell at the agents, or you want to yell at for that one?
I'm going to yell at everybody, Mike. I'm in a mood today.
Damn, look at you.
Thank God we don't have any callers on the line right now.
When did this happen, man? What took place during the break that made you all salty like this?
Everybody texting me at the same time with a problem while they know I'm on the air.
I love doing that, too. Did I hit you last night?
Actually, you did. But that's okay. That's okay. I got it all handled. I'm actually not mad at any of that.
I can't help it, too. I function overnight, for God's sakes, you know?
Let's see what else we've got here in the...
Where was Filthy Tom last night? By the way, Filthy Tom...
Filthy Tom does not do shows that we start at 2:30 a.m.
He is pissed off. Did you see, man? Maybe he's not as he'll calm down a little bit, but apparently he's going to have to get go back to getting frosted tips again, and maybe hooking up with Sage Northcutt's sister, who I believe also does mixed martial arts, and join the family somehow, so he can.
Well, I sure hope not, because he's got a Polish girlfriend and a child now.
But make some of that. Well, is he going to be able to make some of that sage money without doing that? Because I saw he was not happy about that, and you know, he's probably got a right to be. But the Sage Northcutt and Paige Van Zandt thing with them being the faces of the company. Hey, I don't blame them, and I can't blame them for getting that money or getting the attention that they get. But there's so many people that the UFC could do this for as well. I mean, I see Aljamain Sterling, who is such a just, you know, and I don't know him that well, but seems to be such a great gimmick with the old 80s, the big dookie gold chain that he wears around his neck. And the fact that he's, you know, an exciting guy, he talks, he carries himself. I mean, Filthy Tom, there's so many guys on that roster who could be marketed, and they just don't do a good job with everybody, and that's unfortunate.
Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here for the final segment of the show, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. 3 minutes, 18 seconds. Until the start of the WWE TLC pay-per-view coming up tonight, we will be recapping the show, myself and Vinny, when the show ends, exclusively for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. Also, myself and Dave Meltzer later on tonight talking the show as well for subscribers. Don't forget After Dark Radio, 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern, Dark Matter Digital Network. There are links up on the right-hand side of WrestlingObserver.com. You can also go to ArtBell.com for information on the show. That's 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern tonight. I have a new show, and we'll be talking about the future of the Dark Matter Digital Network as well as After Dark Radio. Make sure you check that out. And, of course, all of these shows available at WrestlingObserver.com. It is Ring of Honor week all this week on this program. We will be here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Replays, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. We also have a Monday morning replay, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern, if you want to check that one out. And all of the schedules are up at sportsbyline.com. I am at Brian Alvarez. Mike is at Sempervivi. Sports Byline is at Sports Byline USA. So head up there and follow us all on Twitter, and you'll always know when the show is airing, how to listen, special guests, all of that good stuff. I will also be tweeting live during the pay-per-view tonight, which kicks off in about a minute here. And my look at this bunch of geeks, the League of Nations on my TV right now. I can't wait for tonight, everybody. Talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks, everybody at Byline, Mike, as always, callers and listeners, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.